Welcome back again to the Idle Thumbs podcast, Thumbcast. You're here with me, Spaff, and I'm with Marek Bronstring.
Hi there.
I'm not actually with him. He's in Amsterdam.
Yes.
Although, yeah.
This is all a virtual reality. But
the internet.
There's an upside. I no longer sound like, you know, I'm on a distant payphone in Afghanistan, as Rhodey said.
You didn't ever sound like you were in Afghanistan. You sounded like you were in California governing.
Oh, boy. Are we going to get in that again?
Well,
I am
anyway,
not
well.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Dab Beer, which I'm drinking. Premium German lager, apparently.
Nice.
Yep. What are you drinking today, Mark?
I am drinking Coca-Cola, which I never ever drink, but there's a bottle here.
Okay, they're not the sponsor of today's podcast.
Fuck them.
We have actually recorded a couple of podcasts since the last one, but every single time we did, they exploded and failed.
Oh, man. We were really depressed for a while, but we're motivated again. We're back. And
we're going to take it on again.
Yeah.
So, Marek.
Yes.
What have you been up to this week?
Oh, that's our first segment, isn't it? What have we been up to? All right. This weekend, I hung out with Tetsuya Mizuguchi for the second time. The last time was in Sweden, you know, at the Nordic Game Conference. And this time he was in Amsterdam. I still don't know why, but he was there. And a mutual friend of ours, Barbara Lipa, who is a character designer from Austria, she also flew over to Amsterdam to meet up. And it was really fun. And
so
this time
he just mailed you out of the blue and just said, "Hey, Merrick."
Yeah. It was like,
so you're buddies now.
Mizuguchi-san is in Amsterdam this weekend. You know, shall we meet up? Yeah, sure. So it wasn't even for an interview or anything. It was just hanging out after he was done with his meetings, his business meetings in whatever you had to do in Amsterdam. So it was cool. And he's a really interesting guy because, as he told me, every year, imagine this, every year he has over 70 flights to different countries all over the world. And
70?
70. And that's not even counting his regular flights to Korea, where he's you know, working with Fandagram Entertainment on 99 Nights. So he does that every week. And then on top of that, he has 70 other flights each year. So he gets around a lot.
So he's racked up a lot of, what are those, like, frequent flyer points or whatever?
Probably, yes. He's perpetually jet-lagged, I would imagine. Yeah. And, in fact, we were joking how everyone at Q Entertainment appears to be, you know, not in the office, but all over the globe. And no one actually has time to make any games. So it's he travels a lot.
Do you reckon the jet-lagged stuff affects his game design?
Who knows? Maybe,
like,
yeah.
He's perpetually asleep. So you make, yeah, well, anyway. So where did you take him and stuff?
We just went to some bars and had some good food and went to an exposition, a photo exhibition. And,
You didn't go to the red light district?
He may have gone there himself, I don't know. no comment. No.
Fair enough. So you actually successfully managed to meet up with someone and show off on the podcast. I successfully managed to not meet up with someone and show off on the podcast twice. The first one being the Tim Schafer came over for the BAFTA Awards the other week. And he gave us a mail and he said, "Hey guys, I'm going to come down to Brighton and see you guys." And we were like, "Holy shit. Fucking awesome. Tim's going to come see us." So then on the day, he sent an email and he was like, "Oh, I'm sick. I ate some bad food." So we never got to see Tim.
Oh, man.
And that's why the fact for a while was Tim Schafer made my girlfriend cry. Rosaka was fairly upset. Well, she may or may not have cried, but she was, you know, pretty gutted that she didn't get to meet her hero. And then the very next week, Simon Jeffrey was in town, well, in London for some meetings at Sega. Simon Jeffrey is the president of Sega America and used to be the president of LucasArts, where we met him through Mojo. And I completely failed to meet up with him as well because he had to go to Cornwall. So there you go.
Nice.
So, failure of all time.
People think that our facts are all, you know, bullshit, but they're all true. You know,
yeah,
Tim Schafer did make your girlfriend cry, and Mizuguchi-san did teach me how to kill a man with one blow. That's all true.
Yeah, and Capcom does have a studio called Nude Maker.
Yes. What
which
the
I
hell
believe is
up
our current
that?
Fact. You discovered that the other day, I believe.
Yeah, I wow, it's amazing. They do
I
not
think
have
they
an English
on,
website. No.
No, but I think they worked on Clock Tower and Clock Tower 2.
Yeah.
And like Steel Battalion, but then also they worked on some very suspicious looking games,
right?
Which I don't know what they're called, but just Nude Maker is an awesome studio name, though.
So, I've ever got a great bridge here. Speaking of Capcom Studios, there's also Clover Studios, which.
Oh.
Got closed, as you may recall from
that's in
a week
fact
ago.
How we found out about Nude Maker, wasn't it?
Yeah, I looked for information about Capcom's, you know, third party studios or like second party or what you call those. They're like spin off studios or something, satellite studios.
I don't
whatever.
Know. Second party, first party would be ones that are owned by them.
It's like
right,
yeah,
and then third party are ones that aren't.
So
second
it's
party.
One and a half party or something.
The sweet 16th party.
Nice. But anyway, Clover Studios got closed, and the reasons for that are still not clear. Although there is an interview on Gamasutra.com. I don't know if you've read it. It's with one of the main guys.
I didn't know.
Of Clover Studios, and was taken just before the studio closure was announced. And it turned out that he was very unhappy with sort of the politics behind everything and how he had to protect his projects from being canceled and also had to protect other projects at Capcom. Even Phoenix Wright, the DS version, you know, was in danger and had to be sort of guarded. And turned out to be a big success. And now there's two more of those games coming out. So it's...
What?
Yeah, that's great. But it took a lot of effort, apparently, to make it happen at all.
So they released Okami, and they released something else. What was the other thing they released? Clover?
God Hand and Beautiful Joe.
Oh, yeah. So presumably they had terrible sales as well or something?
The sales were okay. Apparently, this is what I read, the studio made a loss of $2 million or euros. And, you know, that might seem like a lot of money, but compared to what Capcom would gain with in profits of a new Resident Evil game, that is just, you know, a drop. $2 million is nothing. And... you know, some
right.
people are arguing that, you know, just for the prestige and the critical acclaim that the games at Clover Studios got, Capcom should have kept them around, and the $2 million dollar or euro loss isn't really a loss. It's an investment in, you know, new characters and so forth.
Yeah.
I actually came across something that made me think of this, 'cause, you know, a lot of game publishers don't have these offshoots that are making games that are, you know, prestige projects or just to be critically acclaimed. And recently, I'm a big fan of Battlestar Galactica, the new television series.
As am I.
And yeah, and it's a great series. And the ratings recently were a bit disappointing, apparently. So there was some talk in the fan community there that, you know, the show might be canceled. And the wife of the producer of this show posts on the fan forums, and she posted a message there. And it made me think about this. First of all, she declined that there's any cancellation danger for the show. And then she explained that... the reason a sci-fi channel is putting a lot of money in it is because of the acclaim it's getting. She referred to a New York Times review that was recently published, and I will just quote this. She said, "Networks like that kind of press. It makes them attractive to other talent. Shows like Battlestar Galactica draw respected writers and producers to the Sci-Fi Channel. That counts for a lot. It is good for a network or a studio to have this kind of critical acclaim. They do not make Oscar contenders because they make money. Saw 3 made more than Clint Eastwood's film. It will continue to make more. Studios like Oscars. They like to make respectable, prestigious material as long as they can also make money makers." And then in, you know, big capital letters, she wrote, "It is the way the industry works, period."
Right.
Now,
so
that is not how the game industry works.
No, not at all.
You know, what company is going to just, you know, put in a lot of money and a lot of effort into something that doesn't get, you know, huge sales, but is sort of okay in sales terms, but, you know, brings a lot of good press to a company? No one is doing that.
Right. I mean, it reminds me of...
Not at that scale, anyway.
It reminds me of back in the day when we did a lot of stuff with LucasArts, and we were always saddened that they would make a ton of Star Wars games, and then they'd cancel all their original games, their interesting games, you know, and they wouldn't put out any more Monkey Islands or Sandmaxes or original games, even though they had a shit ton of cash.
Yeah.
You know, all they had to do was make one Episode One game, and then, you know, enough to fund a billion tiny projects, but they just wouldn't.
Yeah,
they saw every game loss as a loss, and nothing, you know, they weren't willing to invest. Yet it is those games and that original IP that attracted everyone and made everyone love LucasArts, not the Star Wars stuff as much.
Exactly, and it was the creative mindset in the early days of LucasArts that made games like X-Wing versus TIE Fighter and Dark Forces really good games, because everyone was energized and creatively inspired to make those games good.
Right. So our industry is basically fucked and nothing like that.
Yeah.
As you're quoting. That's sad. So, yeah.
I imagine the TV industry being very harsh as well, but at least they get that part of the equation. Anyway, we've got other news commentary subjects for today.
We do?
We do, in fact. Yeah, there's other things. How about Sony closing down Lixong, or allegedly causing the closure of Lixong?
Boo, assholes.
Do you have anything else to say about that?
Oh.
Apart from that, they are cunts.
They are cunts. Our, that headline was maybe a bit, you know, childish or something, but we were angry at the time. The Sony are cunts headline. I don't know, it may or may not be their fault, but it's probably is. I've been shopping with Lixang for I don't even know how long, like 7 years or something. My
right.
room is like a giant testament to how much stuff from Lixang I bought. It's just piles of like Game Boy boxes and random Japanese toys and stuff.
I've
bought stuff from there nearly every month.
Exactly.
When they closed down, they cancelled about 7 things I had pre-ordered, including my Wii. And like a bunch of DS games and some peripherals and stuff. I'd normally buy all my Christmas presents from there. It's just depressing.
So why did you order your Wii from a Hong Kong import online store?
Well, I actually wanted a US one. And the other places, the imported places, are usually from Japan. I don't want a Japanese one.
Right.
But yeah, I don't want to buy a European one because they suck. I'm fed up with Nintendo UK being assholes.
The price is much higher than other territories, right?
Right, so the Japanese Wii is equivalent to £113. The European Wii is equivalent to £133. But yet they're selling it for £180.
Yeah,
I mean, this is going off the subject of what we're talking about, but it makes me sad. Seeing as they said that they're making profit on every Wii console sold,
yeah,
and they can sell it, so that means the one being sold in Japan is making profit at that price. Why is it so expensive here? That means they're making a fucking massive profit.
Right.
Just because they can. And that's the thing, just because they can.
Isn't there some kind of issue with the different, money exchange rates or something.
I don't know, like, yeah, we have to add tax and stuff, and, you know, but 180 is just a little too much.
Right.
And the other thing is our games are, like, well, they're expensive, about $80 or something, 80 American dollars.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So, where I can just really buy them expensive. For, like, $50 or something on the net and get them through Lixang. And that's why, you know, we're talking about Nintendo, but Sony got pissed off for it because people wanted to buy, you know, PSPs. PSP games, and then obviously because the PS3 isn't going to come out until next March, they didn't want anyone buying PS3s before that launch day
in Europe
through Lixang, and that's why they shut them down. I enjoyed though. I mean, they Lixang lost, but they did win that the PR victory.
Yeah, they played a bit dirty, but I guess Sony played dirty as well, so it's justified. They actually put up the names of the Sony employees who bought PSPs from them. And I guess that's sort of ethically kind of questionable, but, you know, whatever. They were on the losing side, and
they've gone out of business anyway.
Exactly.
I think it was a more kind of like, what the hell, for investigatory reasons or whatever. No, fuck was it. These people, like these execs buying PSPs the day after launch... Oh, for investigation reasons? No, they wanted to play PSP. And everyone knows that.
Exactly.
And they can argue what they want, but that's not fucking true.
So,
So, you carry on, sorry.
Yeah. Where are you going to order your stuff now? Are you going to move to PlayAsia, or...
Well, I have used PlayAsia a bit before, and I guess I'll move to them. There's not that many other sites, and basically I fear that they're all going to be targeted next. I'm going to try and get Jake or Doug to send me over a Wii, if they can.
It's on the record now. They can't back out anymore.
Yeah. God damn it. So, PlayAsia, hopefully, if they don't get shut down as well. But it's really annoying, because to Lixang, it's legal business.
Yeah.
And everything they did was completely legal. And Sony just used bullshit reasons like they weren't certified safe in the EU, even though they pretty much were, and they were made by Sony. So, whatever. Screw you, Sony. Fuck off.
So, next topic. David Jaffe and pop songs.
You added this to the list, and I don't know what you're talking about, so please go ahead.
There was a recent interview with David Jaffe, the creative director at Sony... America, I think, with in Newsweek, and he compared God of War to an opera in terms of size, and he's talking about
what does he mean by that?
Oh, well, we're gonna get to that. He's talking about doing pop songs now, like small games that are take like 5, 6, or 7 months to complete. Sony's making efforts to make a lot of short games, small games for the digital distribution platform that they have to sort of compete with Xbox Live. So the first game he has made in that category is Criminal Crackdown, which is sort of a cops and robbers type game. It's cel-shaded. You drive around with a cartoony looking car, and you have to steal a criminal who is in another police car. And
A criminal?
Yeah, you sort of have to bump into another police car. The criminal comes out, is added to your vehicle, and then you have to drive off. So it's sort of... he describes it as cops and robbers meets basketball, because you have to, I don't know, grab the ball or something, except it's the criminal in... Well, it doesn't make any sense. So here's another thing that makes very little sense. David Jaffe sort of went a little too far with his pop song metaphor. He was talking about how they want to differentiate themselves from Xbox Live Arcade. He said, you know, Xbox Live Arcade tends to have retro arcade classics. Okay, that's I guess you could say that because there's, you know, Doom on it and stuff like that. And some old Galaga and Pac-Man. But here's what he said. I will quote it. David Jaffe said, "I would say that there are pop songs by Ashley Simpson and pop songs by the Beatles. My goal is to write pop songs like the Beatles, not like Ashley Simpson. If you want Ashley Simpson pop songs, go to Xbox Live Arcade. Actually, they're the oldies station because all you're getting is Scramble and Pac-Man." What?
Nice. I don't even know who Ashley Simpson is, but I can assume that it's some kind of terrible, like, Britney clone or something.
Not knowing who she is a good thing.
I think his metaphor is completely stupid.
Is it
an opera? I don't think so.
Yeah. It's you know, one of those games that only the intellectuals play, and it takes hours.
You have to have a picnic in the middle, and it's full of, I don't know. So pop songs. So Sony will be full of pop songs. Awesome.
Yeah. I think that analogy is. I get sort of what he was going at. You can sort of try to do a new song, quote unquote, every few months and see if it sticks, and then, you know, maybe do another one like it. So I guess I understand that part of it, but
I'm sure he could have come up with a better metaphor or whatever.
Yeah, but he's doing a very poor jab at Xbox Live Arcade 2, which is a fantastic service, and I don't know why he's attacking it.
because Sony can't seem to do anything right at the moment. That's why everything they do is a PR disaster. So
yeah, that's definitely true. Actually, there's I think Iwata of Nintendo has a better metaphor. He said not every game has to be an encyclopedia. You can also have like short stories and magazines and so forth, like the equivalent in games. I guess that's what he means, that you can have short games that are published regularly instead of the big epic games, and I welcome this development.
Right, but it's more like reading a magazine as opposed to reading a novel, or watching a TV episode of South Park, or watching all of Battlestar Galactica. It's far more like that.
Exactly.
Than it is an opera versus a pop song. So whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on.
There's actually one other thing that was happening. It happened on Friday, which was the Golden Joystick Awards.
Oh, yeah.
Golden Joystick Awards are UK-based TV awards that for some reason exist, and nobody gives a shit about them apart from, like, themselves. They think they're really awesome, but they really are not at all. I'm trying to get the list of winners up here because it's pretty hilarious.
All right. You were there last year, weren't you?
No, that was something else. I tried to go on Friday, but there weren't any spare places at work. All my bosses disappeared to it. And they actually left really early in the morning. Like, normally, I would think award ceremonies are, like, in the evening kind of thing. But this started at about 11 a.m. with champagne and then was, like, in the day. It was just quite odd. I don't know.
It doesn't seem as glamorous as it should be.
No, so, like, some of the awards are fine. The point was, you voted for who, like, everyone could go to the website, vote for who they should be shortlisted. And then there was a second round where you vote for who you want to win.
Yeah.
Okay, and there were some quite interesting things that made it through, which is why I don't believe, like, how could these things then win? So, the Nuts All-Nighter Award, Pro Evolution Soccer 5. Fuck off. PlayStation 2 Game of the Year, Resident Evil 4. No, it's not even close to being the PlayStation 2 Game of the Year. Like, Shadow of the Colossus came out. What are you talking about? Nintendo Game of the Year, New Super Mario Brothers. Meh. There have been better games than that, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe only in Japan. This is the worst one, I think. Handheld Game of the Year, Liberty City Stories. There is no way that is the handheld game of the year. No fucking way. If Handheld Game of the Year is going to be a DS game, look at the sales, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Right, Rampage Soundtrack of the Year, which went up against... Think of the soundtracks this year. We Heart Katamari, Locoroco, Shadow of the Colossus, Psychonauts, all these things. It went... Oh, and Guitar Hero was even nominated somehow, but it went to Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Right.
I don't think I'm going to read any more of these, but you can read the rest on the internet and laugh at how basically every single award went to the completely wrong thing.
See, yeah, and this is why it's sad that these kind of awards get a lot of attention.
Yeah,
it's sort of
and televised. This is
relates
televised.
To what we were talking about before about Battlestar Galactica and the Oscars and so forth. If the awards are you know very very prestigious and there's a lot of time spent on deciding who gets them and so forth. If they have a good reputation, then you know they start to mean something. And I think the only awards in the game industry that really mean something are the GDC Developers' Choice Awards. Those are great. I don't know if you know.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to say the BAFTAs that were on last week. They seem to be. I mean, Psychonauts won, so they must be getting something right. I didn't really see the rest. Actually, no. I agree with most of the people that won the BAFTAs.
Yeah.
So that's good to see, because a BAFTA is quite a prestigious thing. Everyone already knows its name from television and movies and stuff.
Exactly.
British Academy of Arts. So that's good. And yeah, the GDC Awards are kind of... They're like voted for by the developers, right? Like
the GDC Awards are great because developers get to vote on what other games they think are really good. So... it's sort of from developers to developers, and the results turn out to be very, very fair. And the right people get credit for the awards. They really look at who actually did the work on whatever the award is for. If it's for the writing, they actually look at which people were writing the dialogue and so forth. It isn't just the project leader who gets to get the awards.
Right, so that's really way more like the Oscars kind of thing. They, you know, they award
exactly
the different departments and stuff. That's cool.
So usually
that's the end of the news.
Yeah, our third part is what are you playing now? Are we playing any interesting games right now to talk about in this segment?
Ha.
You go first.
I have, I'm sorry to say, been playing World of Warcraft over the last week or so. Rusalka just got a PC, so we've been playing that a bit. That's been pretty fun, though. It's nice to go back to it every now and again, as long as you don't get sucked in too much, which lucky I don't.
Right.
Too often. Other than that, I played some Samur Max Episode 1.
Ah, nice.
Have you played that yet?
What?
Did you play that yet?
Yeah, I played some of it.
I failed to get very far. But I like it.
Yeah, it's definitely a good, solid Sam Max game. If you don't expect like this huge, epic, you know, road trip through America kind of setup that, you know, Hit the Road had, then you're going to be pretty pleased with this game. Right. I'm pretty... surprised by the reviews, actually, because they seem, some of them seem too high. Eurogamer gave them a 9 out of 10, which I think is a bit, you know, too much.
Yeah.
Edge gave them a 6 out of 10, which was really amazing to me.
6?
Mostly they complained that it was a great game, but it wasn't Hit the Road, and that's why it got a 6 out of 10.
I hate Edge.
Seems
they
more like an 8 out of 10 kind of game.
I'd like to see all of the rest of it. I know a lot of people had a problem with the voice acting and stuff, but you get used to that.
Yeah, and, no problem.
Jake was saying that Steve Purcell wanted the first episode to be in their neighborhood, which is why you don't get any kind of epic feel or anything, but they are going to travel outside of
exactly.
their neighborhood and then in following episodes, and apparently like the later ones are going to get like really more insane and even closer to Sam and Max comic dialogue, and which they've really nailed. Like
yeah.
It really feels like Sam reading Sam Max's comic, or you know, and they've really got the world and everything sorted out. So I think that Jake said that in the next episodes are like even tighter. They're like, so we look forward to those. Hopefully, Jake's not in trouble now for leaking infos.
Oh, sweet exclusive info! See, this is the reward for listening to us talk for 30 minutes.
The NDA. There wasn't any info in there at all of any use to anyone. In let's make one up. In Soundmax episode 2, they will go on stage with Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, that was a good bit.
Yeah, they're, I don't know, live in a desk drawer and have some milk. I don't know. Yeah, so what are you playing?
I thought the milk scene was kind of pretentious.
Okay. So what are you been playing, Marek Bronstring?
Sam Max, Episode 1, and Animal Crossing, which is also an old game, and I'm late to the party, so I'm not sure if I should talk about that.
So it's a good game. I sold you that game.
Oh, yes, you did.
Because I had two copies. Man. You enjoying it, though?
Yeah. Shall I tell people why I wanted to play it at first?
Yeah, I think you should.
This is the worst reason to start playing a game. I wanted to play it because then I could visit a town of another girl who was really nice.
A girl who you described as being nice, did you say? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, you can use that word.
So, that's the geekiest reason ever to start playing a game.
But it did you end up visiting the town?
No.
Why?
Because it turned out she wasn't on Wi-Fi connection.
So you played it anyway?
Yeah, and it's actually great. So
it is great. You can play on Wi-Fi with me if you like.
Yeah.
I know nice. I'm not that hot, but it'll do.
I don't know. All right, so let's wrap up this this show for today.
Okay. I'm going to go back to playing some WoW now, then.
All right.
What are you going
to
do?
I go back to transcribing my interview with Mizuguchi, which I've decided will be published on Idle Thumbs as well. So, guys, look out for that. Yeah.
Content! Okay. Well, on that amazing bombshell, that we will have some content soon.
Is this Top Gear?
Yeah.
They always end with, on that amazing bombshell.
Really? Okay, but right. I'm not being... I'm Jeremy Clarkson, and you're that guy that almost died, alright?
On that amazing... Oh, okay. So, who am I? Jeremy Clarkson?
Richard Hammond, or whatever his name is.
Oh, that guy. I can do his voice, so...
Oh, well, never mind then. Just do Arnie.
Oh, stop it. No, I can't do it anymore because I don't sound like I'm in Afghanistan.
See you later, Thumbeteers.